Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
I thought this topic was a little weird, but it's not going to take very long to go over it. The Supreme Pizza was invented in 1977, according to Reddit.
I'm sorry?
The Supreme Pizza was invented in 1977.
I think we were talking about other things. Isn't that what you had, sour cream?
That's a taco supreme.
Okay, clearly I'm completely lost.
And this is stranger still. Welcome to Stranger Still,
a podcast where we talk about stuff that we should probably know already, but
yeah.
I could use just a little bit brushing up on. And I'm John Began.
I'm Nick Wood. I'll do the brushing up if you're so inclined.
Was that a joke?
Because
I brought my toothbrush.
Oh, let's get started. How's it going? How are you, man?
Would you really brush my teeth if I needed it?
I'd do anything.
Are you at that level of friendship?
I'd do anything for you. This, if you're getting the news here. That's pretty sad. But what's also sad is we lost Ruth Bader Ginsburg recently, and we figured the Supreme Court's going to be talked about a lot in the coming weeks, especially with the political climate that we're in right now. But we're going to not talk about that, because instead, this prompted us to say, "How the heck does that Supreme taco even work?"
Mm.
And I figured, what better time to talk about the history of the Supreme Court? Now, you might be thinking, this sounds boring, and you're wrong. because the Supreme Court's pretty dang cool. For those that don't know, for our international listeners, our country has a Supreme Court, and it's the highest court in the land. There's plenty of other courts in the country, but this is the supreme one. Imagine a supreme pizza. Imagine a pizza, but you make it supreme. Now imagine a court. Now make that supreme. I don't even know what goes on a supreme pizza.
Meat or something. What goes on a supreme reign? Or like, how do you do that?
A supreme
reign?
Is that
when you're like Caesar? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then you could put Caesar on your salad.
Caesar salad pizza?
That goes with your
pizza. What's your favorite type of special pizza?
Oh, boy. I really like Mellow Mushrooms pizzas. They had one called Magical Mystery Tour, and they got rid of it. That was my favorite.
Yeah, Mellow Mushroom is incredible.
I know.
And I forget what I used to get there all the time. It was like a margarita vegan pizza or something.
Their pesto pizzas are the best.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
We should just go there right now instead.
All right.
What time's that close?
Oh, they're probably closed by now.
Okay.
But you know what's not closed? Our justice system.
Wow. Smooth like butter.
Yeah, it goes down real smooth. So as everyone knows, in the United States, we have a system of supposed checks and balances. And these checks and balances come in the form of three branches of government. Do you know what they are, John? Pop quiz.
The Ninta, the Maria, and the Santa Maria.
Close. The legislative, which is like Congress and Senate and the House of Representatives, they are defined by the first article of the Constitution. Then the second article of the Constitution sets up the executive branch, which is the president, the vice president, their cabinets. And then finally, we have the judicial system, as instructed by the third article of the Constitution. And that's what we're talking about today. Supreme Court, baby. Because there are, like I mentioned, there's other federal courts out there. There's the Court of Appeals. Each state has a Supreme Court. There's district courts.
Kid court.
There's kid court. Mm-hmm. There's Judge Judy. All these make up the judicial system, but the one way at the top is the Supreme Court. And I mentioned that it's instructed by the third article of the Constitution because in some cases the Constitution can give very clear instructions. Sometimes it's a little vague. In the instance of the Supreme Court, it was both. It was like, yo, Congress, just set up the Supreme Court in like whatever courts you guys need. But then also they were like, here's these really obscure cases that fall under the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court, like anything that happens at maritime or interstate. So two states are angry at each other, you guys get to deal with that. And like the whole jurisdiction thing was like longer than the actual like how to set it up. But Congress did that, John.
And yeah,
1789, Congress put forth it was called an act to establish the judicial courts of the United States Basically, you can just call it the Judiciary Act of 1789, which is much easier to say.
Now, because they did that, I actually had one of my friends go to Judge Judy.
Yeah,
because that happened. Yeah, I was in a band called Love Robot.
Uh huh.
And
gosh,
we had a bassist.
No, you don't have to brag
that we didn't go get along. I don't think everybody knows anymore. It was Ancient Life. And so my guitarist was friends with this girl whose dad worked for Line 6 Amps, and he lent us a bunch of stuff for free just to like try it out, like beta test a bunch of amps. And our bassist, we kicked him out because he had anger problems. He kept punching the walls and stuff. So he decided, no, if you kick me out, I'm not giving the stuff back.
Yeah.
So he just kept all this Line 6 stuff, and the dad had money and worked for Line 6. He was like one of the corporate guys there, and he's like, okay, I'll sue him. So he took him to court. Judge Judy picked it up. And then my friend Matt and our bassist, they had a Love Robot Judge Judy episode.
Oh, man.
About my band. Yeah. And they prosecuted, and she yelled at him and said, is it yours? What do you think you're doing? Did you just take that? Why did they kick you out? And she just like went through all that stuff with her thick accent.
Yeah.
And then she goes, all right, well, you're going to give it back or you're going to pay for it. He goes, okay. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Like, just went really smooth, and then went on to the next.
Yeah, I'll have to track down that episode.
But it felt good because all this like stress that my friend had, one of my best friends growing up, Matt Clooney, he got to like relieve that stress by seeing Judge Judy yell at him.
Yeah.
And that was like the pinnacle of revenge for saying like, okay, we're even and everybody's cool now.
Yeah. You know who you have to thank for that?
Thomas Edison.
George Washington. Because he took the Judiciary Act, and he's like, yeah, seems good. He signed it into law. And what it did was it set up the loose structure of the Supreme Court. It basically said that at the time there would be 6 justices on the court, and they would either serve until retirement or death.
Wow, that's so metal. Speaking of bands.
Yeah. So this number was pretty flexible, and Congress actually changed it throughout the years. It's been as low as 5 justices and gone all the way up to 10. And the last change, which we still have today, was set up in 1869, where we have 9 justices. One of them is a chief justice. They have different responsibilities than the other just associate justices, like setting up schedules, presiding over public hearings, assigning who writes majority opinions. If they're in the majority opinion, we'll talk about opinions later on. They're very opinionated, these Supreme Court justices.
So you hear about all these like really high profile cases all the time, like LGBTQ rights and stuff like that. But what do they do like on a daily basis if you're not making everybody's schedule?
Well, I think they just sit around and twiddle their thumbs.
Just wait for something to come in?
Yeah.
No, they probably deal with like smaller decisions like, should pineapple go on pizza or like...
They should have a podcast
that.
Where they make arguments.
Oh, they'd be
like
so sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, contact me. I'll write them a theme song.
Yeah. We'll talk.
Did you know I actually wrote a theme song for the H3 podcast this week?
Oh, did you?
And they've used it in their episode, the Judge Ethan theme song.
Oh.
I was just watching the podcast like normal, and I'm like, wait, I wrote this. It was a really cool feeling because I sent it some like month ago, and they said they'd use it, and they never did.
Oh.
They'd used it.
Nice. About time.
Yeah.
They better have thanked you.
We'll see. We'll see about that.
So
I didn't check on their Reddit.
Yeah. Sticking to the history, we can talk about their day-to-day lives here in a little bit, but their first court meeting was supposed to be on February 1st, 1790, but it was actually held on February 2nd because of scheduling issues. I know this is fascinating stuff. What's even more fascinating is they didn't even see any cases. They just started to begin to figure out how to do all the work that they were going to do. Like, they appointed a court crier, who's, like, the guy that kicks off the whole thing, and law
they cry
clerks.
If it gets so sad. I guess that's kind of like
John
when
Cryer.
You see people cry in a movie, and then the audience starts to cry because of it.
Yeah.
People just didn't feel, like, properly, like, emotional enough to cry, especially if they didn't know the victim. So they tell the court crier to cry first, and then it was like sign language.
It's like the signs that say applause or aw or...
Yeah.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. They admitted lawyers to the bar, and I wonder if that's something that they still do today, but it wasn't until a year and a half later.
Only when they were 21 or older.
they're the bouncers for lawyers. Mm-hmm. On August 3rd, 1791, they had their first case. It took them a year and a half.
Wow.
It was like their second session. So when you ask what they do today, day to day, they have sessions. So they're not like busy all year round. But this was an incredibly important case. Everyone remembers their first case. You remember what it is. It was called
Roe versus Wade.
No, it was West versus Barnes. And it actually wasn't fascinating. It was a financial dispute between a farmer and a family he owed debt to.
How is that interesting? Are you supposed to play this stuff up, Nick? Do you want people to actually listen?
All the exciting stuff comes here.
We spent years building this audience up and making sure, hey, oh, yeah, leave us a review. For you to say that it's not exciting, that it was against a farmer who owed money,
yeah.
You're supposed to, come on, let's get a little bit of gravitas, Nick.
Let's get some, like,
Yeah.
In the beginning, what I think is interesting, for like 100 years, each justice was required to hold at least two circuit court
hearings. Three eggs in one fist.
Yeah, every public hearing, they had to hold three eggs.
It's hard.
And balance a bucket of water on their head. It was
bizarre. I don't have
that many
fingers.
But they had to hold at least two circuit court hearings a year in every circuit of the United States. So for those that don't know, the United States is broken up currently into 12 different circuits. At the time when we all started out, there's three circuits. And by the time they stopped, it was up to nine circuits. They stopped doing this in 1891 because nine circuits, that's 18 hearings they have to do a year. That's a nightmare in the 1800s because they didn't have cars.
Well, not only did they not finish the sentence first, I'm sorry.
Well, no, they just didn't have cars. Transport was impossible. It took forever to get anywhere.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, speaking of cars, though, do you know why Trump doesn't like to watch the circuits?
Because
all they do is turn left. Oh,
man.
You like that?
I do. Did you just come up with that?
Yes. But that's not true. He actually appointed like 200.
My science has applause.
Judges. Yes, so that's not good.
yeah. Gotta love the future.
But I'm going to tell that joke in 2024 when things start looking good. Hopefully NASCAR doesn't build a new track and turn the other way and ruin my joke.
And then your joke will have aged like milk. But since...
Into beauties, Nick.
What's that?
It'll age into beautiful cheese. That's what milk does.
Oh.
Not that bad.
I think I just like went sour.
Milk. Okay.
Not a lot of changes were made since 1891. The only other important change was in 1925. There is a... I practiced this word, my friend.
Sorority, Nick. It's France sorority.
Certiorari Act. They just call them certs, which is, thank God. This allowed the Supreme Court to reject a case. And this is very important when we talk about how a case reaches the Supreme Court. But it's different because no other court can do this. If a case comes to a court, probably except for like Judge Judy, but they can't be like, nah, I don't want to deal with this drug dealer. I just want to deal with divorces.
Want to know a secret about Judge Judy?
Yeah.
The reason Joe was like, oh yeah, no problem, I'll give it back, is because everybody gets paid even if you lose.
Yeah. Must be nice. And I also want to say the current members so far, right, the Chief Justice is John Roberts. Then you have Clarence Thomas, Stephen Breyer, Samuel Alito, Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and then until recently, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And 114 justices have served on the Supreme Court, which might seem like a lot, but there's only been 17 Supreme Justices, or Supreme Justice, the Chief Justice. There's been 17 of those because they last forever. The longest Chief Justice was John Marshall, who served for 34 years, which is nuts. Can you imagine having the same job for 34 years? Ugh.
I think I'd like that recently.
Yeah, probably. So I'll admit, before I started researching, I think I said this before, I wasn't even entirely sure how a case reached the Supreme Court. I thought they just were like, they combed through the archives and they were like, oh, this one seems interesting. Let me take a look.
They pick them out like podcast episodes?
Yeah. So there's a couple.
They have a poll on their Facebook page.
Right, yeah. They have a Discord. That's where they do their polls now.
That would actually be sick.
Well, actually, it's not too far off. It's not Facebook or anything, but there's a couple ways that cases reach the Supreme Court. The first thing I kind of alluded to before was there are cases that just fall under the Supreme Court's jurisdiction. And here's what the Constitution says. They put it pretty succinctly. So all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers, and consuls, all cases of admiralty and maritime jurisdiction, to controversies which the United States shall be a party, to controversies between two or more states, between a state and citizens of another state, between citizens of different states, between citizens of the same state claiming lands under grants of different states, and between a state or the citizens thereof, and foreign states, citizens, or subjects. See what I'm talking about? They get oddly specific.
Yeah, I think I totally get what you're talking about when you said it's going to be super fun. Trust me.
It is fun. So basically any case that like involves one or more state, or it's maritime or an ambassador or consul or something like that. One example of like the two states arguing with each other recently, New York and New Jersey were fighting over who owned Ellis Island. And so they had to go to the Supreme Court for that. Turns out they both own it. The other way that a Supreme Court receives a case...
Turns out? Is that that's how long it takes?
Yeah.
Turns out.
Actually, these cases are really short, which I think is funny. Because you think of the Supreme Court as like, oh, they'd have to make these grand decisions that must take forever. They only do like 80 cases a year. But we'll get to it. Because I have to tell you about how else they get cases. And that is if they do a writ of certiorari, if they issue a cert. And this is when the Supreme Court asks an inferior court to send a case up to them. So my assumption of them just like looking through the archives wasn't too far off.
Like, hey, you shouldn't keep all that base equipment, line six.
Yeah.
Line six guy.
Usually they don't look at individual cases. There's a couple ways that a cert can get issued. And that's if one party appeals a court's decision, so the court makes a decision and they're like, I don't agree with it, they can request, they have the option to petition the Supreme Court to issue a cert. So they can be like, hey, Supreme Court, we have this case over here. Can you come take a look at it and make the decision for us? And
then they have to decide yes or no. I wonder how many requests they get a year.
They get 10,000 requests a year. Wow. I saw anywhere from 7,000 up to 10,000. But they only do like they only honor or issue a cert for 80 of those cases. And in order to select them, they go by rule of four. So all the justices,
they take four balls with A, B, C, and D, and they put them in a big bin and they spin it.
Yeah.
And then it goes down a vacuum tube. How does it work?
Are you talking like Powerball? I think it is a vacuum tube. Okay. I don't know anything about Powerball. I don't even think my grandparents watch it like everyone else's grandparents.
You got pictures of Powerballs all over your walls. Don't you like those little boys that do those flips and they collect those Powerballs and they go Super Saiyan?
Oh, that's a Dragon's Balls.
Okay.
I collect Dragon's Balls. So through these petitions, the justices will go through, and if one seems interesting, they'll show it to everyone else. And if four of the justices say, yeah, that looks interesting, they'll issue a cert, and it goes all the way to the top, the Supreme Court. And usually they'll select ones that deal with like constitutional crises or things that will affect a larger population than just the litigants involved. And if they deny the petition, the original decision the court reached is the final say. And then the other way is that if a court of appeals sends it up to the Supreme Court, and again, I'm going to throw a bunch of numbers at you, so stick with me. So across the United States, there are 94 federal judicial districts. These make up those 12 court or circuits I talked about before. And then each circuit has a court of appeals. And the court of appeals has three people on it that review the lower court's decisions to make sure that they correctly apply the law. And if they decide, hey, that guy should have gave the amps back and you didn't tell him that he needed to, they can send it up to the Supreme Court. And then the last way is if a state Supreme Court makes a ruling on an interpretation of the Constitution, usually the Supreme Court will review it just to make sure it's good.
Damn.
Sounds did you
really
make it?
Complicated, Nicholas.
It
yeah,
is.
I think so.
But like I said, when you actually get to the hearing, it is the furthest thing from complicated. Because once a case hits the Supreme Court, they ask the parties involved to submit a briefing of the case. So they'll have like a long novel about the case. And the other outside parties can submit amicus, which is a briefing just supplied by an impartial advisor. Once all these are done, the lawyers go to the Supreme Court, the big building in Washington, D.C., and each lawyer has exactly 30 minutes to present their case, meaning it only takes an hour for them, for the Supreme Court to hear a case, which is like not what I had envisioned. I figured it'd be like days of deliberation. What?
Imagine you have ADHD, but you're also a Supreme Court justice. You just I'm sorry, I zoned out.
30 minutes is great. So after the oral argument, the justices will go behind closed doors, and once a majority in a decision is struck, they begin writing opinions. And this
do they
is,
go by themselves, or do they meet with their teams?
So there's a couple things they do. They meet with the group. They meet with their clerks. They have each justice has like three or four clerks, which are like lawyers and law professionals, whatever else. And they'll go out and they'll do individual research on their own and all kinds of stuff. So they'll meet with them, and usually the clerks will help them write up their opinions. And the opinions are like the public statement on the ruling. So once they reach a decision, there is a majority opinion. That's the final say. And like I mentioned before, if the Supreme or if the Chief Justice is in the majority, he can choose who writes it. Otherwise, someone in the majority has to write it. And the reason that's important is because that's the law that every court has to follow after that. So it has to be incredibly specific and lengthy and dry, because it can't be interpreted by a lower court as something different. Otherwise, the whole process just doesn't work. Then, less officially, people that agree with the opinion can write a concurrent opinion, and that just supplements the majority. And then, of course, those who disagree can write dissenting opinions. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was famous for dissenting. But as far as their day-to-day lives go, I assume that they're just sitting around, like, playing Fall Guys or Among Us, and I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't really relate to Fall Guys because I just got a Switch, so I'm, like, diving into that. I did beat Mario Odyssey, though, and I'm at the Nintendo 64 level, and it's just the best.
Oh, then they're all sitting around playing Animal Crossing. Is that something you can relate to?
I haven't started yet.
They're all sitting around playing
Super Smash Brothers.
Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah, that's what I play a lot.
Yeah.
Ness is my main.
Nah, you gotta download the Banjo Pack, dude. You're doing it all wrong.
Maybe yeah, if people would go to patreon.com/strangerstill.
Oh man, chill.
And leave a note that says for John's DLC. And we'll give it a go.
Yeah. So there's been, you may have heard of a couple famous cases that have reached the Supreme Court. I went to uscourts.gov to see like what they listed as their landmark cases. I was kind of disappointed they didn't have Roe versus Wade on there, because in my mind, that's like when I think of Supreme Court, I think of that. I also think of Brown versus the Board of Education. So I have a few landmark cases that we can discuss here.
I kind of want to hear like the silliest ones from over the years. I'm going to look that up.
Go for it. I think that these ones are important because it helps you guys know your rights out there. So, of course, in 1954, we had Brown versus the Board of Education. That ruled that separate schools are not equal. In 1961, we had Mapp versus Ohio, and that made it so that any evidence illegally obtained for a court case cannot be used in a criminal trial. Very important. In 1962, we had Engel versus Vitale. Hope I'm saying that right. And that made it so school-initiated prayer in public school systems violates the First Amendment. There's another one later on. I don't have it on my list, but it made it so you can't use the school's PA system for school prayer, which I kind of disappointed we have to be that specific, guys. We already said in 1962 you can't have a school-led prayer, and then you're trying to do it over the PA. Anyway, in 1963, Gideon versus Wainwright, this meant that if you can't afford an attorney, you will have one provided for you. In 1964, we had New York Times versus Sullivan, which set the bar for proving libel. So, like, if you claim that someone is slandering your name, you have to prove that it was made against you in actual malice. So good luck proving that. 1966 was where we get the Miranda rights. That was Miranda versus Arizona. So police have to inform suspect of the rights before questioning. Terry versus Ohio in 1968. I'm not sure how to feel about this one, but this made it legal for stop and frisks to be conducted under certain circumstances.
It's bad.
It is bad. especially because they say under certain circumstances. Like, what are those circumstances?
Being black.
Exactly.
In New York City.
Yeah. 1973, I added this one, which is Roe versus Wade. This made abortion up to the second trimester legal. In 1974, I wish that this is a law that we upheld today. It was U.S. versus Nixon, which meant the president is not above the law. In 1985, we had New Jersey versus TLO, and this made it so students have a reduced expectation of privacy in school.
Versus TLO?
Yeah.
What did TLO stand for?
I believe it was a person's name, but the person's name was not listed on this on the uscourts.gov.
You know what is listed, though, Nicholas? The next one on the list, which is the United States government versus TLC. That's where they ruled that you can't go chasing waterfalls.
And you have to stick to the rivers and the, what is it, lakes that you're used to?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
I think you must have read the doctrine.
Yeah. Well, I've heard of it. I haven't read it because, like, I don't want to be a nerd. I don't want any scrubs.
Okay.
And then the last one I have is Texas versus Johnson in 1989. This made it, and this is super important. Even offensive speech such as flag burning is protected by the First Amendment, so suck it.
Gotcha.
Got him.
Crybaby, no pants. Leave us a review on iTunes, though, by the way, everybody.
and make sure it's nice. Armin's going to delete it.
Yeah, and both of us will read it.
Yeah. Did you find any silly cases?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these are like silly to lawyers. Where they're like, you wouldn't believe.
Like
but hold on. I think I might have gotten a good one. I've got ones with silly names. South Dakota versus 15 impounded cats.
Say that again?
South Dakota versus 15 impounded cats.
Huh.
A woman nearly backed into a cop car because her rear window was obstructed by 15 cats she'd be living in her car for several days. Cops seized the cats and the woman appealed to the United States Supreme Court to get them back. The court found the cat seizure justified for the safety risk they posed to other drivers.
Hmm. Interesting.
There was another one called Terrible v. Terrible. case.
What was that book like? The very, very bad, terrible, no good, something, something.
Oh, Harold. Oh, well, no, that's not Harold and the Purple Crown. The No Good, Very Bad, Horrible Day.
Yeah, versus Harold or whoever. You know, this is random, but as I was Googling silly law cases, or lawsuits, I remembered the hot coffee lawsuit from McDonald's. You remember that?
Yeah, and, it was too hot to burn themselves.
Yeah, and like everyone points to that as being like the utmost in frivolous lawsuits. But as it turns out, that lady was like got like third degree burns, and there's something wrong with the machine, and the coffee should have never actually been as hot as it was. But like McDonald's had a very big campaign to make it seem like a frivolous lawsuit so that people, it wouldn't ruin their public image.
I remember that very well. What a weird capitalist world we live in.
I know, isn't it great?
How about this one right here? I want you to guess who won and then I'll tell you.
Okay.
One 1950 Plymouth sedan, the Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania won.
Pennsylvania cops pulled over at 58 Plymouth for riding low. They searched it without a warrant, discovered untaxed alcohol, and seized the vehicle. The Supreme Court ruled unanimously that this was a Fourth Amendment violation.
Oh, yeah.
So very sedan. Good, sedan.
Oh, man. Well, you got any more? Should we take a quick break?
Maybe I'll tell you one more after the break. I'll find the best one on this list.
Sounds good. We'll be right back. John, where can people find us?
Hey, you can find us on StrangerStillShow.com. You can also find us on iTunes and leave a review. This is the third time I've had to say this, guys.
Yeah.
Do you really think that we would still do this show if we found out that nobody listened at all and poor Nick's little heart was broken every week?
Yeah.
When he hits that number, he's like, John, I researched for 20 minutes today. I'll never get that. And I have to comfort him. Do you know how much time I have to waste? Just leave us a review.
Yeah.
Would you? It really helps a lot. It's like we are appreciative every time that we see one of those little things pop up. We know that it's easier that when you type in stranger, it's not going to give you a bunch of Stranger Things, especially that Halloween's coming back now.
I know. We got to figure out October month. So the best way to... October month. We got to figure out topics for that. So let us know. And on our Patreon, you can join our Discord and let us know on there too. But John, what is the silliest court case you found?
Oh boy, howdy, do I have a belly tickler for you. I hope that you're on the edge of your seat because
I'm not,
there's no more seat to put under you to fall out of after the laughter that's going to pursue from your face lips.
I hope that was the name of the case.
This is called United States v. 40 barrels and 20 kegs of Coca-Cola.
Okay. Enlighten me.
Yeah, this is a federal lawsuit in which the government tried to get Coca-Cola to remove caffeine from its product.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Who won?
Didn't hear about that. Coca-Cola, I think, won in this case.
Oh, really?
But they only had trace amounts of cocaine in 1903.
Yeah.
But then they were like, you know what?
No, they're okay with the cocaine.
Well, they took some of the cocaine out, and then to compensate, the company increased the amount of caffeine.
Oh.
But then that's why I went to court.
Interesting.
So, what are you going to do?
I don't know. Not drink Coca-Cola, I guess. Mm. You got anything else, man?
I think that's all I've got, other than, like, seriously, just go to iTunes, leave a review. Like, well, I'll read it.
Yeah.
In a funny New York voice, if you want. Like, if you put
any
it
voice you want, man.
At the end. Like, just if you haven't done it before, just do it.
Yeah, it's easy. Come on, man.
Forget it. Forget about it. That's just a taste of what you could be hearing.
Forget about it. I'll do a silly New York accent, too. Watch.
My name's John. I'm from New York.
No, just to clarify, that wasn't me that said that.
This sounded like you, didn't it?
I know. That was just Nick doing an impression of me.
All right. Well, in that case, I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this is Stranger Still.